Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I am Jay Kranda. If you're new, thanks for checking us out. And Nils has been owning the show. You've been doing a lot of sweet interviews, Nils.
I appreciate it. I had fun with Warren, who joined us a few weeks ago. He was so great. Love the research he's doing with Leadership Network and also the infamous Brady Shearer, who is just crushing social media, coaching, training, resourcing church leaders like crazy. So we appreciate him taking the time all the way from Canada to join the podcast. And so a lot of fun. The interview is always good to connect with friends in that way.
I know. And we're actually
just leaving that out there.
Well, we want to say for everybody listening, thanks for hanging in there. We actually are dealing with some technical things right now today. For some reason, the internet is not wanting to be kind to us. But regardless, we are going to push through. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about Facebook boosting versus Facebook ads. So real quick.
Yeah. And when you say ads, you're meaning external link ads, correct?
Yeah. I guess I'm more talking about like actually going to like facebook.com/ads and going through the process of creating an ad versus sitting on your page and just adding $20 and boosting it. Like the two processes.
Yep.
And then ads allows you to do stuff like that where you can create more types of conversions. Where boost, all you're doing is you're promoting whatever you posted on your page, but ads allows you to have like external clicks or Facebook message us, all these different things. So if somebody's coming to you, Nils, and asking you, should I boost or should I create an ad? What are you typically like consulting people telling them to do?
The answer is yes. You know, what we are always encourage people to do is it's not an either or, it's a both and. In that, you know, there are, I would say, four kind of ads that we encourage our clients to do, or honestly that we run for most of our clients. And that's page like ads to grow your audience. That's boosted post to widen the reach of your content, increase engagement, as we'll often say. And there are lead ads, which drive towards conversion. So external link ads usually fulfill the same purpose, where external link ads will likely drive to a landing page to capture an email address or some kind of call to action or sign up for an event, something like that. But those are kind of the core posts. Now, three out of four of those are Facebook ads. One of those are boosted posts. So yeah, that's kind of the scope of Facebook ads. Boosted posts are often a great place to start.
Yeah.
You know, you can take any post that you have, whether it's a Facebook Live video, an image you post, or even just a text post, and you're going to reach more people with that. It's a very powerful tool, but it is also very limited. And so the other ads, I would say, are really more effective, but they're also more complicated. They're more time consuming. They require more intentionality, which is valuable and important, but oftentimes pastors don't have the know-how or the time to invest in that. And so that's kind of the give and take with Facebook ads. Jay, what's your take on the whole ecosystem?
Yeah, I mean, I like everything you just said. I think the tension that I always have is for a church. I was actually talking to this with a friend who's doing a lot of boosting right now, spending a lot of money. And I saw Brandon Cox did a post recently. He planted a church and the post was like, what he learned from spending like $30,000 on Facebook ads for his church. It was a great post. So check that out. Google Brandon Cox, Facebook ads. It was a great, you know, just as practically as a church plant, what he's done over the last, you know, 4 years. So my thing is boosting is, you know, Facebook has definitely made it so that if you want your community to see your content, you probably should boost a little bit regularly, like so the reach. But the big thing is boosting, like Facebook loves to spend your money. I mean, that's the thing.
Yes.
They eat it up and they give you immediate gratification in the process.
Yep. They show you your results at the end of the day.
You're like, what? 5,000 people? Yeah, take my money. You know what I mean? You're like, I don't have to go to Burger King today or whatever it is. And so I don't eat at Burger King, by the way. But
who does eat at Burger King, by the way?
I used to eat the chicken sandwiches in college. They were so
disgusting.
And so this is my thing is I think most people, when you boost, you can experiment with it, but I think I wouldn't do it regularly because creating an ad, what it makes you do is if you go to like the ad section on Facebook, it slows you down and starts you with your goal. And it intentionally slows the process down and it lets you think about what are you trying to do. But if you're just putting $100 or $50 on a post, most likely what you're doing is that you're rushing the process. And so you could be strategic on both, but my thought is what you probably should do instead of just putting $100 and boosting a post, like slow down for a moment, and go to the ad section and think about it. You know, we just started to experiment. We've been talking about it and we're working on getting them on the show is, you know, the Christian Vision guys.
Yep.
Girls, I don't know. It's not just guys, but they
we know all the guys.
I know. Apparently, we're experimenting with this idea of like the action step being a Facebook message response. And so actually the call to action is private message your page. And it's been real interesting experimenting with it. And, you know, cause you can set up save replies and it's like pretty effective, but it's thinking through your, what do you want people to do? And I just think Facebook boosting now, it's so big and it's so easy that I just think most searches could burn through your budget too quickly. And I think the process of going through the Facebook ads is probably a better process for most people.
So here's the pushback, Jay, is pastors don't have time. You know this, and you're living in an online ministry world, and this is your full focus. But naturally, you have more than most in this area to focus on. But you think about the regular church, and maybe they have a full-time communications person, but likely they have a part-time communications person that's like half youth pastor, half communications. To say that I'm going to, you know, go be, and they have $100 a month budget. So they have a minimal budget. At what point do they say, okay, at this point, I need to diversify and make this time and financial investment? Or is it at the beginning? I mean, is it from day one? Even if your budget's $100 a month, should you still pull that time to be a good steward of the resource? What are your thoughts?
So I definitely think that you have to get all your ducks aligned. So at the very beginning, make sure you have your process in place. And so before you start throwing money at any type of advertisement like that, make sure you know that your process pushes people down your funnel correctly. So do some beta, you know, probably launch it on some minor scale where you're just rolling it and you're learning about the kinks in, or like, you know, the gaps. And then once you feel confident, this is probably the point. Once you feel like one person goes through the process the right way and you're like, okay, that worked the way it did. So the idea would be, okay, that person clicked on that link. They went to this page. They gave me their email address. And then they responded to this email. And then I met them at our church and they started attending. Let's say that's hypothetically the call to action. You know, then that's when you're like, okay, I know it works. And the idea is all you're doing then is fine tuning it to be the most effective. But you're like, you know what? For every $50, I can get one person to visit my church. Let's say hypothetically, physically. But you might get 30 emails out of that. The idea is then once you have an idea that at least you have some drip down the process, that's when I would go turn it on. But I wouldn't, I think, spend very little up front and just mess with it. But don't dump your whole budget until you actually know there's something working. And I think that's the bigger issue is you most likely, I'm so like, let's just get it done and let's move on to the next thing. That with advertisement, it's just so easy to spend money now online with Facebook and so forth. I'm running a couple Google ads right now because of this promotion that they're doing. And I'm like, you know, I'm spending $15 a day and it's just like, man, they just spend my money like easily, but I have to go through the discipline of logging onto it every day and seeing the effectiveness of the ad and seeing, do I need to turn off some things? But that's the bigger issue is just slow down, make sure your process works, make sure you're capturing emails. We've had this with TV app of like, okay, we spent, you know, $300 on some ads promoting our TV app product. And it's like, okay, we have to stop it and we have to think like, how many emails did we get? Was it working? But you know, like we set it up one time and then like, if we don't turn it off, Facebook will just continue running the ad.
Yep.
So
yep.
It's just harder to be disciplined. So I think that's why I start with a very small budget and mess around.
But I think Jay, what you're speaking to is kind of direct response marketing. And that's one of the things that as I sat in the role that I did for so many years at Community Bible Church, I was not very good at, or maybe slowly learned. I'm learning a ton of that now that's really intentional about moving people down in a process. And so when it comes to Facebook ads, some direct response marketing are page like ads or lead ads or external link ads that capture an email address where you might pay 30 cents per person that goes to your website and then 10% of those people convert. So you're essentially paying $3 per email address. But you know, kind of here's my call to action that I want them to take. And then they give an email address and then you follow up with them. And you have a clear process for where you want to move people. Or it's a like ad where the direct response is to like our page. And so you know that for every 50 cents that we spend, we target people, you know, in our area and we want them to like our Facebook page. That's clear direct response marketing. The other side is I think we have ministry impact marketing that has nothing to do with direct response, but it's building brand awareness and allows us to minister to people before they even come to our page. And so that would be something like our weekend sermon, a video clip from the pastor, or even a message from your children's pastor about spending more quality time with your family or whatever it might be. It allows us to minister to people in our community before they ever come in our doors. Now that might have no direct response. That might just be brand awareness or ministry moments that we can actually create a spiritual connection with somebody before they come into our building. I think those are often, those are also highly valuable. And I think that's where you use your boosted post opportunities. Also, maybe a good opportunity, even around maybe your Easter theme. As soon as you have an Easter promo video pushing out, you just crank that up, put, you know, $100 boost behind that to people in your localized area. I think there are opportunities for that. I think though, Jay, and I think you, to your point, what churches don't understand from a marketing perspective, church leaders, is the power and the importance of response. And when you use direct response marketing, understanding how important it is to have a clear path that you want them to take. And so if you want to have an ad that gets them to go to your website, when they go to your website, what do you want them to do? Do you want them to sign up for something? Do you want them to plan a visit to your church and have a clear path that you want them to take? And so I think it's kind of a both. That's where I think it's a both and, but it's being intentional with every dollar you invest. And that's just being a good steward.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm trying to think that if I even like, I'm trying to think if I disagree with that point of the brand awareness, because it makes sense if you're large enough. Like if you're large enough and you have a product that you have a big enough budget doing like the big, like it's almost like the direct mail thing. You send it to, you know, 10,000 people and you're just trying to litter your way into awareness. And I think that's the struggle. And I think that just might be more of my call to action type of personality. Like I want a next step with everything and I struggle with the value.
Yeah.
But I do see the value. I definitely do see the value. Yeah.
See, I think it's just as important. We're having a fight right now in front of everybody, Jay. It's a little embarrassing. But this is part, I think it's a good tension, but I think this is where we definitely probably have a disagreement. I think too much money, awareness, not having a strategic funnel, and not just for their online ministry, for their physical campus. You know, I think Elevation Church, when they launched that plan of visit experience, and now so many churches, we copied them at CBC. But it's genius to capture that information so you can really help guide that experience and follow up with them. It's strategic marketing.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, if you're in a small town, you know, I mean, I just think about all these small towns around Texas, you can capture decent video in your church and you can post it on your Facebook page and you can spend $50 and reach half of your community with that.
Yeah.
This in comparison to buying a billboard in your area or spending money in a newspaper advertising, it is so huge.
Yeah.
You know, my old church, Trinity Baptist Church, this is, you know, when I was a youth pastor, their original pastor was known in the community because he bought a bunch of TV commercials. He would, every TV commercial was basically him sitting on the edge of a pickup truck with this like 27 second ministry moment. And then he'd say, oh, by the way, I'd love to see the Sunday at Trinity Baptist Church. And everybody knew because he ministered to people because they came to the door and the church exploded with this ad about the church. It was a ministry moment. And oh, by the way, we'd love to see you this Sunday.
Yeah.
And I think we have an opportunity through Facebook to really connect with people in a real tangible ministry opportunity. But I think we can still be strategic of as they're engaged with us. And so that's why our funnel with social media and around fundraising is not to post on Facebook to donate to our cause. Our funnel is to use Facebook like ads to build awareness and to start liking our page, to use boosted posts to engage them, you know, and get them to start seeing our content, which builds brand trust and engagement, to then convert them to an email address where we can communicate in a more direct way. And then as we have ongoing communication with them, we say, hey, now that you know more about your ministry, with our ministry and the work we're doing, we'd love for you to partner with us through giving. And so it's a clear path. So instead of just like, we're just going to boost a post about donations for people that don't even know about us, that's not a great direct response opportunity. We use social media to build consistently and deepen our relationship. And I think churches obviously want to do the same thing. And so you have, it's a process in there. And so there's not just one ad campaign. You don't want to just go all in on external link ads. You want to really have a clear path. And I think you want to be diversified a little bit as well in all of the campaigns.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think that makes sense. The blasting of your boosting that way for awareness. My thing would be when you're early on, I just don't like spending money to build Facebook's platform and not being able to like directly follow up. And I think that's the bigger issue that I have, especially when you're small, when you're trying to create. Like, there's one thing about building momentum. Like, if you're large enough and you might be able to get your whole thing rolling, but like, you know, if you're a church at 500, you know, the idea is that like every email contact is so valuable because you're so small. So if you can get them to private message you on Facebook or give you their email in some way, whatever it is, like that seems more valuable at a smaller size. But I also get, I can see why. Yeah. Like I'm thinking about the church that I came to Jesus in, like they had a billboard out, well, not a billboard, but like a marquee outside. And I was like, we would change that out. And that was definitely known in our area. And it was like, that's definitely an effective thing on our main street. So, and I totally agree. Do not spend money on print ads. Definitely. If you're doing that, you know, please go call your ad manager and cancel that if they even still work there.
Yeah. I will say though, Jay, while we're talking about this, I was so against direct mail stuff and I'm learning so much. There is a great opportunity still around direct mail to send people intangible, have a physical connection with people. It shouldn't drive our communication strategy, but our recent study that we're about to release around millennials talked about how even millennials appreciate getting mail that's meaningful, that's thoughtful, that isn't just asking for money, but that communicates, because there's things that you can communicate through print that you can't in others, but the cost of it is unbelievable. I mean, it really, when you talk about the printing, the stamps, all that goes into direct mail, it's crazy, or signs, billboards, things like that, and you really can't measure it. I had two other things, Jay, I got to just get off my chest here about Facebook. One is Facebook Messenger is really developing. I don't, I feel like it's, I'm getting old and it's like, it's confusing to me, but I would say it's, we've got to be paying attention to it because there's a lot of opportunities and things like what you're doing. We're going to have to bring the CV Outreach guys back on to really dig into what you guys are doing through that, because it's really interesting. And I think it's going to continue to develop, and you see Facebook putting so much time and energy into that. And then the other side is the Facebook donate feature. I was hot on this about 6 months ago, and I still think there's a future in it. But Facebook does not give you, they take 5% of the donations. They don't give you that person's information, so you can't even follow up with them. They will give you their email address if they check a box to give you their email address.
Yeah.
But it's just not a good option. So a lot of churches have asked me, should we just use Facebook Donate? And it's like, absolutely not. Should you sign up for it? Yeah, it didn't hurt anything to sign up for it. But don't make that your primary donation platform for online giving. That's a bad idea. You want to get people's information and be able to follow up with them more effectively.
I'm loving, like, I definitely was not super hot on Facebook Messenger, but like I've been using it. I think we were talking about this a couple weeks ago, but the idea that I'm talking more of our campus pastors, even at our church, say like the primary way they do ministry right now is less and less on email. And it's just people in their community are Facebook messaging them. It's, for me, it's the same way. I will say that if you have a page, there's a lot more features. Like I really like on Facebook on your page. And if you set up a Facebook message ad where like the call to action is through Facebook Messenger, the messages in your inbox on your page actually say from the Facebook Messenger ad. So you're able to see in your inbox, oh, look, that's coming from that ad. So you're able to create clear calls to action. I have like three standard email responses. And the cool thing is the way it personalizes it. Like you're able to actually like say, you're able to type, hey, and then it gives you a field insert where it says like first name, comma. And you're able to just, seriously, you're able to just go. And it's funny, like, I'm like, this is super easy. Now you have to adjust it sometimes depending on what the question is. And then I would say if you're doing it for sure, if people are spamming you, mark it as spam so it doesn't affect your response rate is really important, because Facebook definitely prides themselves on like they want you to respond to things. And so that was one of the main things about us is that like we didn't want to turn it on because they didn't want like a low response rate. So like my team is just taking it on right now, Saddleback's account, because I want to like partner and figure out how to do it. But I'm very high on Facebook Messenger right now. I definitely think there's something there and I'm excited as they make it more and more robust. So
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting. And we'll need to have a show totally dedicated to Facebook Messenger to really talk through what it does, what it can do, where we think it's going. I got to brag for a second, Jay, before we wrap up the show. I got accepted into Facebook's F8 Developers Conference, even though I'm not a developer, as a marketer, I guess. So I'm pretty pumped to be out there at their conference this year and eager to kind of share learnings after that. And so I mostly just wanted to brag. I just brought that up. So
when is
to brag. It's on my birthday. So, well, I'm eating on my birthday. The conference is actually April 18th and 19th out there in the Bay Area.
Sweet. That's awesome. Well,
yeah. So, and with that side note, with the side note to the side note is that like half of the sessions are about virtual reality. So I was fascinated as I was looking through the agenda of sessions and the breakouts to go to is half of them are about virtual reality. So if you're wondering what Facebook is prioritizing in the future, they definitely have some of their attention on virtual reality.
I just wanted to share that. They're paying attention to that for sure. That, I remember you told me that a while back and I was like, oh, that's so interesting. I'm curious. I still haven't tried Oculus Rift. I'm like still,
Jay.
I know.
I can't believe we're friends.
I know.
You've got to find a place that you can try Oculus Rift at NRB. I don't even know what NRB stands for, but the conference that I went to a month or so ago, I got to see a virtual reality experience of the Jesus thing. I think I shared that here on the podcast, and it was with like the Samsung Gear VR, which is, I guess, kind of a version of Oculus. Pretty sweet, but you got to try like the actual Oculus.
Okay.
Headset. It's a whole nother level.
I think in NRB.
NRB. So I think it's like National Radio and Broadcasting, but it's Christian Broadcasting. It's like TV and radio and stuff like that.
I want somebody to respond to us.
Kenny Jang was there. Matt McGee was there. Cool friends. Nick Runyon was there. So lots of friends.
Oh, Nick was there?
And got to meet some fans of yours, Jay, at the conference.
Okay.
I think I told you that.
Okay. You know what? This is where we need to wrap up because now you just...
Yep. Love you guys. And I love you, Jay. Missed you. Look forward to next time together.
Yeah. Go to socialmedia.church to learn more. Tweet us to recommend future show topics. And thanks so much for listening.